Welcome to the limited series of On Air. Our podcast brings together FemPellet professionals, mentors, and supporters for a conversation about career topics. We want to discuss different perspectives and see what we can learn from each other. Today, we'll talk about gender biases. What biases do we see around ourselves and how do they affect us? What should we think twice before saying out loud? We'll discuss this and much more with Dana Spritzer and Vladimir Přikryl. Dana worked as a journalist covering politics, education, minorities and gender issues in Europe and beyond. Now she runs a training agency, Media Confident, that provides courses for students, NGOs and companies in media literacy. Dana has twin boys who are 100% Czech and 100% American. Dana works every day to help them understand and support equality and fairness in the home, at work and in the world. Our second guest, Vladimir Přikryl, works as the executive director at Luther One and believes that through building collaborative company cultures, we can contribute to a better society. Vladimir was always a fan of everything that can improve company culture, and that's how he discovered topics like diversity or gender equality and supports them ever since. Warm welcome, Vladimir and Dana. It's my pleasure to have you as my guests on our season two of the FemPellet podcast. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. So today the theme is gender biases. I'm very excited for this one. Let's just dive right into it. I'd like to start with Dana and ask you, what do you think are the most common biases when it comes to gender?
Well, I think it really varies on what country you're looking at. Certainly, women are most associated with childcare and with taking care of the home. And so I think that the most common bias is that they're going to be lesser as employees because their dominant role should be taking care of the home and taking care of children, or that it is that. So I think that's one of the biases. And I think probably a second common bias is that, and it's something we all joke about in the wake of Donald Trump, as president of the United States, is that somehow women are more emotional. They're more emotionally driven and therefore will have problems making informed leaders without, you know, crying or screaming or relying on their monthly cycle. That's a second bias. And the third bias, I would say it's probably a greater focus on the way women look. So that the way we look is more important to our jobs than, for instance, how a man looks. We're less intellectual and we have to somehow survive on our look. If you're very attractive, then you're probably stupid. This is a bias that is everywhere. So when you're young, a young woman, you're treated like an idiot and a sex object. Then when you're older, oh, you're not hot enough, so nobody cares. I've seen that actually, and then those are three biases, but I saw that with the finance minister of the Czech Republic, Mrs. Schillerová. She was recently tweeted at by someone who called her, and I'm sorry to use this language, but a horny, which means, you know, sexually eager, a horny MILF, which is, mom, I'd like to think of what F stands for. Mom, I'd like to do something to. So instead of getting upset, she responded like, thanks for the flattery. I don't think of myself that way. You know, this is the kind of low base comments that people have to deal with. And also I remember when there was a very famous doctor who was a senator here in the Czech Republic, and she was actually running for president in the early rounds. It was the first presidential contest after Václav Havel. She was someone who tended to the wounds of Jan Palach, so a senator who was famous for that. And anyway, I was a journalist working in the Senate at the time, and a mayor turned to me in the Czech Senate and said, well, why should she be running? She's not on the cover of Blesk, which is, for those who don't know, a tabloid magazine. You know, like, she wasn't a Page Five girl. She wasn't hot. So why is she running for president? And the absolute idiocy and stupidity of this comment was beyond me, and very disturbing. So I would say those are three of the biases that I know of.
How about you, Vladimir? Could you add some from your point of view?
I think I don't want to add anything, but maybe from the more general point of view, this is also very, very interesting to see that these biases are, you know, really gender. So it's not against women, but it's also against the men, because when the man wants to be emotional, so these three biases, I completely agree. Yeah, and taking one of it, if man, it's emotional, hey, it's he is weak. It definitely means that he is weak. So we are all of us are challenged by this and by this predefinition. Like when we are small kids, you as a boy, you should play with you know, with the guns. You should go to the trees and you should do this stuff. And if you are painting or reading the books, hey, there is something wrong with this boy. So this starting really from the childhood, and it's very interesting to see how then it is really developing. And what I have learned and was very when I start to focus on this like 3, 4, 5 years ago, it's really really interesting that these biases are run by women themselves as well. So I really see in job, for example, when the young lady, she didn't want to get pregnant, and from the old colleagues, old women colleagues, it was seen like, hey, she's doing something wrong. So even, you know, and I'm not trying to say that men are not guilty. I'm just trying to say that it is really interesting to see that this is not between the genders, but it is also inside of the gender. And the same, like, young mother wants to get back after 1 year to the job in Czech Republic. It's always seen like, hey, she is careeristic instead of taking care of the baby. But nobody really think, because a lot of people, and especially with the kids, I think it's always, you know, everybody's expert on it. So it's like football. Yeah. And then everybody knows how to grow the kids. So if you are not doing it their way, you are doing it wrong. And this is then, I think, behind these biases. And we should work with that in our head and start to be really thinking about, let's say, the basic things, how we in every day, we are really using a lot of us, even we are really, you know, major in this way of the thinking. And when you take around the look on your friends, on your family, then you can always find somebody doing this. And it's always, you know, our own responsibility to say, hey, I'm sorry, but this is really what you are saying. You should not think in this way. So not saying, hey, don't say that, but don't think that. And why? Yeah, because it's completely up to everybody of us how we grow our kids. If we are not, you know, beating them and they are not starving, then it's up to us if we decide to go to job after 6 months and we can manage to be in touch with them and still work. Why not? Why should somebody tell me what to do? Yeah, and this is, I think, from my point of view, what I would like to add to what Diana said.
I just wanted to say how much I agree with what Vladimir said. I think it's a wonderful flip side of what I discussed. Perceptions of gender and gender roles are much more fixed in former communist countries than in the West. And whether people like that or not, that's the way it is. Communism froze gender roles for 50 years. And as a Western woman who came here in 2001, it was like entering 1955 in the United States. So I'm sorry if there's people who don't like to hear that. It's very controversial and I don't really care. It's the fact. So it's very hard to look out one look at one's culture from outside. And certainly I've been able, had the opportunity to look at American culture from the perspective of Europeans. And I'm so grateful for that. But I think what Vladimir is talking about is critical for two reasons. I mean, I have two sons. One of them loves pink and he's afraid to wear pink to hockey because, you know, the rough and tough kids there in his school, he goes to international school and all the teachers have been told and all the kids have been told colors are for everyone. Colors don't have penises and vaginas. So everyone is cool. But, you know, in a different environment, he is more careful. And also, I mean, once my son cried because he lost a chess game and we had a woman here who said, don't cry like a girl. There are in Czech schools, and we'll get into structural issues later, I hope. But what Vladimir says is, look, we're all responsible for our ideas of gender. I'm sorry, go look at the stores. It's pink and blue like 1955, baby. You know, I mean, it's absurd. You know, this is a girl's Lego. This is a boy's Lego. Get real. There are, of course, beautiful and fantastic differences between boys and girls. I know, I'm a woman. I have two boys. We're really different. And I get that, okay? But when I go to IKEA in the Czech Republic, I didn't want a man saying to me, are you sure you want this kitchen? I heard you had boys. I mean, this is like, you know, absurd, okay? And you don't have to be mean about it. I think what Vladimir says is you don't tell people, hey, you're wrong. That doesn't help anyone. But why do you think that? Look at, you know, famous Czech chefs. They needed to learn to cook. They're making lots of money. My son can too. You know, you need to use some logic there. But also in Czech školka, it's still the tradition, let the girls go first, you know, on the stairs and to the food. That implies a certain weakness for a girl. And it starts there. It starts in nursery school. It starts, what do we say about gender? What do we say when we see a girl play with tools? I teach university and I had university students tell me they would go to an internship fair and express interest in a tech job. And by the way, Czech female tech employees are paid less than any tech employees in Europe, according to statistics. And, you know, they'll go up to the tech desk and a woman said to them, as Vladimir says, a woman said to them, why would you be interested in a tech job? So I think there's a thinking that comes down from the generations that needs to be not only challenged by the new generation, but challenged everywhere structurally. And you have to decide what are the benefits. You know, it's not bringing the West to you. It's not what Vladimir said. Vladimir's Czech. You know, my husband is Czech. It's not saying you have to think like Americans. You can go it your own way, but you have to decide what kind of a society you want. And the end all is, if you have gender bias, I mean, we could talk about stereotypes all day. But if you have gender bias, how does it hurt you as a society? How does it hurt you economically? And that to me is the important part of the conversation so that people who wouldn't normally change will see that, you know, telling my son, don't cry like a girl and don't wear pink is gonna, you know, or Vladimir hearing from other women, and it's women who are the harshest. What kind of mother are you if you're not at home with that kid? People will say this, okay, what are you doing to the society? How is this hurting the productivity of the society? You know, what are you gaining and what are you losing? And to be, for people to be educated about that. So sorry, I segued a bit, but I really wanted to agree with Vladimir. This is not just a responsibility of women. Okay, or men.
Yeah, thank you so much for building on this. And I would like to go exactly where you said, and that is, why is it a problem? So why is it a problem for the society? What do those biases and then stereotypes cause?
I would start with the company itself, yeah, because I was the general manager of the company for eight years. And, you know, we are, and this is, yeah, a very famous world, we are living in the VUCA world, yeah? And the world is really, it's really crazy, yeah, let's say. It's really changing every day, every moment. And the way of, and this is also a little bit connected with our communist history. Yeah, you need the people who or employees who are motivated, who are satisfied, and who are ready to overtake the responsibility in this in this VUCA world, because you will never find enough processes to run the company in this time, because the every day is something new coming to the company, and you cannot decide on your own as the CEO of the company, and you cannot implement the processes who will allow the decision. So you need the people who are receiving, you know, the complaints from the customers or innovative ideas, whatever. You need them to work with that on their own with responsibility. Yeah? And these, so you need really satisfied, motivated employees, and you cannot create this with the company which is blocked inside by the company culture. And trust me, these biases inside of the company are blocking everybody. So it's not blocking these ladies on the maternity leave, or it's not blocking the mother who wants to get back to the work or whatever. It's blocking everybody, because it's a mindset which is pushing the brake. So if you think about, hey, I need a new assistant and I want a nice woman, because that's how it should be. And this is just common, you know, this is even after 30 years, after end of communism, this is still common, you know. And so you are wasting the talents inside of the company. And this is the same in the society. So we can have, especially in IT, you know, there are the organization like Chekitas and these showing how the woman can be really successful in the IT job. And if you have these bias, like IT job, it's only for men, then you are losing the talents. And we don't have enough talents in the whole society to be so rich to waste them, and to let these for example, women to do, I don't know, assistant job or being in shop, just because, hey, this is not a job for you. You cannot be IT. You cannot be that. You cannot do this. Yeah. So we really need to, and we cannot separate between work and life balance. Yeah. So it's not like nowadays, it's not like you are 8 hours in work and then, you know, you are going home. Yeah. Most of the people has to work maybe a little bit more, or think about their job to really see it from other perspective. And for that, you need really unblocked people who are not, you know, ashamed because they are black or white or yellow or I don't know, yeah, or they are wearing a pink dress. They need to really feel accepted by the society and by the company, because then they are losing productivity. And so this is how this is harming the society and each company, because you have always the silent majority, you know, also in the company. So if somebody see some sexism, whatever, so most of the people then in that moment will be silent, but will feel offended by that and will feel uncomfortable by that. And this is the problem. So you always see in the company, you have the always more seeing these people who are pointing that and saying, hey, this is sexual harassment or this is gender bias. Yeah. And you see only them, but this is minority. So you see two unsatisfied employees, but then you have 40 silent majority who are also feeling unsatisfied, but they are silent. So by one of these examples, you have, you know, a lot of people who are less productive, less loyal to the company, and feeling not accepted, but they are silent, and you don't know that. And that's a big problem.
I'd like to follow up on what Vladimir said. I think it's really very touching how he talked about the silent majority. So let's look at the cost of this problem for this issue for the silent majority, because I think that's really essential that people do not see it. The Czech Republic, in 2017, the Czech Republic was dead last on the Eurobarometer 2017, gender equality index. So what does that mean? They had the lowest rating. And why? A whopping 77% of Czechs said the most important role of women is to take care of her home and family. The Czechs were at the very bottom of money spent on providing childcare in the ages of 0 to 3. Why? Because there's a bias. The biggest bias of all is that only a woman can take care of a child. So how is that hurting the society? Well, the Czechs have one of the highest gender pay gaps. So we're talking about men making 20% more than women for the same job. Is that good? No, it means the Czech Republic, it slows the entire economic development of the country down. And that's really what we're talking about. In the ratings, it was the country was in the top 5 nations where stereotypes are formed based on gender. And I think the reason I'm bringing what might seem, you know, mundane statistics up is there's a direct tie with women not being able to fulfill their promise and the economic success of the country. So if you perceive, and of companies, I mean, if you talk to companies, they'll ask all the time, gosh, I can't understand why we don't have women on the board. Why do we have more women leaders? Well, if you're spending less than any other country in Europe on providing childcare for families in the 0 to 3 category, then you're not going to have women on the top because women are expected to do that job. Why are women expected to do that job? Because that's the messaging in society from the moment they get to school. I think this is what we're really talking about. Now, here's the counter argument. Hey, children need their moms. And, you know, my God, please don't make them give up their children. Women want a choice. They want a choice. In Scandinavia, which is very, very wealthy, very successful countries, you have a choice. You can, you know, at 6 months, the man and the women feel, you know, equally comfortable taking care of the child, putting a child in high quality childcare. High quality is the key, or having subsidized babysitters, which here was unheard of. You know, it's like you said, you told people in the countryside, you're getting a babysitter for your child who's under 3, and they act like you're, you know, hiring a hitman. So I think that change in mentality, that real understanding, opening up of your mind outside of the Czech Republic, look at what psychologists have to say about what high quality childcare is. What does that mean? And once you start looking at that, you see, wow, my company can have women who are more productive and men who are more productive, and we can make more money. It's just really like 2 + 2 = 4 in that regard. But people very much are uncomfortable with the idea that somehow this means, you know, women are going to be deserting their babies. And it's just not true. It takes a long time to fight fiction. We've seen that with anti-vaccine movements. We've seen that with many things, disinformation. And I think there's a lot of disinformation out there about what quality childcare under 3 years old means. So to me, the most important thing in fighting bias is providing those opportunities. And I think the government has been far too slow in the Czech Republic to do that, feeling that it's like chicken or the egg feeling. Well, most women want to be home with their kids up until three. What Vladimir is saying is so important. No one's talking to that silent majority. And if women feel that they will be respected, that they can still spend time with their child and have those opportunities to also move ahead in their career, I think they would take it. It's just that we can't do it all. Nobody can. A man can't either. And that's the kind of conversation that we have to keep having.
You said something interesting, and that is that no one can have it all, not a woman nor a man. And that brings me to another question. So you both have a family. From the perspective of you raising kids, how do gender biases in this case affect career and work-life balance in that matter?
I would rather maybe let Diana speak first, but I would like to add one thing to discussion before, and just count with me. So you have a senior employee slash mother, and she usually earn around 60,000-70,000 Czech crowns. Yeah, if she's on the maternity leave, she's getting 10,000 approx. Yeah, and if she is going to work and having the kid in the kindergarten, it means that she's earning 70,000, and these 10,000 she is giving to the another economy, like kindergarten economy. So then you have 60,000 difference between this, and this is about the choice. So of course, and this is what Diana said. It's up to you. It should be up to you. You should have a chance to live your life in the way you want to do, and you have to do, because we need that everybody does what he wants to do, because it means that he is good at it, no, or she is good at it, and this is the most important. So if I want to be, or my girlfriend wants to be good mother and she likes it, let her do that. If she wants to work and care of the baby or the evening, feeling satisfied from the work, and it means that she will be successful in the work and she will be successful with the baby. It doesn't make this, you know, it's not like you have to spend 24 hours with the kid to make it grow well. It's stupid. It's you never see it. Yeah. So this is strange, you know, because people, and lot of people say, hey, and young people say, I don't want to work 8 hours per day. I think in 6 hours I will be the same effective. Yeah. And this is surprisingly well accepted in the company. But if you say, hey, I will spend 2 hours less with my kid, everybody's like, hey, you are stealing the time from your kid. And this is the same, you know. So we on one side, we definitely believe that it is possible to make the same work in 6 hours. But we don't believe that you can raise your kid with 2 hours less. And this is, you know, I don't understand that. So this is just going back to the economical, you know. Sure. So really, really think about it. You can have in the economy 60,000 more if the mother work.
I want to answer Clara's question. And then I also just want to say Vladimir nailed it on the head. But the bias, Clara, is not against women. The bias is there needs to destigmatize, I repeat, destigmatize childcare before three. Once you can destigmatize childcare in the home, outside the home, so that both parents have an opportunity to work, a lot is going to change. And I think that's a really, really important what Vladimir was talking about. Your question, however, is equally important, and I will explain why. My husband is not here to comment on this question. I have to be very careful, but because I know that he and I would have different answers. And that's part of the issue. Now we don't need to talk about the Czech Republic. We can talk about the world. In the entire world, if you ask men and women, and this has been shown statistically, if you ask, are you doing 50-50 in the home with the kids? the man will always answer yes, and the women will say, I'm doing much more. Now, this is just the way it is. There is almost no example of where women feel it's fair. Why is that? That's important. What are we noticing? This is perhaps due to some humorous gender differences. And there's a lot been written on lately. I think a French comic started it, called The Mental Load. Because when you have children, there is so much work to do around them that is not tangible that you can see. Men are often, because of perhaps many different reasons, I don't want to go into why, really, it doesn't matter. The fact is that women do more and can prove it, because they are often the ones, even against their will, and that's certainly in my case. I should say I was brought up in the 1970s by a vice president of a media company with a father who did the shopping. My father was a civil rights lawyer in the 1970s in the supermarket with women pointing at him. I think he liked flirting with the women. So he took me to Girl Scouts. He did all the things. I mean, I don't think my mother did anything related to and stuff. So I had a different role model. But nonetheless, in our house at home, and I've brought this point home many times, just because I have, again, I'll be careful, female genitalia does not mean I am better at the following: menu planning, nutrition, cooking, clothing planning, toy arrangement, homework, emailing teachers, the list goes on. I don't want to do any of that stuff, but because of probably my nature, I'm always thinking ahead. What do we need for their cooking project tomorrow? If you're going to ask me if my husband has ever had a thought in his mind about the cooking project they might have to do at school, the answer is no. If you ask my husband if he does 50-50, he will say yes. So I ask you, does he do 50-50? This is, you have to talk about this. And now we're giving marriage counseling. In my opinion, this needs to be a much more open topic in society. When people are dating, they should have to go to counseling where they learn what it's like when you have children, what stuff is going to come up. When before we had children, we were like, yeah, 50-50, whatever. And then it's, you know, it's the race in the morning about who's doing what. There's a big joke, a gender joke, that if a woman, you know, sees the sock on the floor as she walks by, she'll stop whatever she's doing and pick up the sock. And then she gets all distracted and is doing the next thing. The man is focused on the fact that he's got to go to work, you know, and he just goes. And the woman is like, why didn't you pick up that sock? You know, she feels responsibility. I think this is the mental load is 30% of my childcare. You know, the other day, and then I'll finally be quiet, Vladimir, but the other day, you know, I work full time. My husband works full time. We're on homeschooling. It's rough. So and we're constantly compromising and, you know, suggesting schedule changes and who knows what the kids are doing. The other day, I only had one winter coat for my son and his zipper broke. And he came home and I thought, you know, oh my God, what are we going to do? And, you know, again, I'm working all the time. And I said to my husband, his zipper's broken. And he just looked at me like, God will provide, you know, like, and it's me coming, okay, what's the plan? What's the plan? What are we going to do to get him outside? And I hate wasting my time on that, but I'm going to do it because I know if I don't, no one else will. This, all of this, people should have to go to mandatory marriage counseling, parent counseling, whatever, to stop this process. I hope this is the next move in the revolution of equality. And
Vladimir, I read once on your LinkedIn that for the sake of gender equality, you were cooking dinner and, you know, making sure your wife can work. How does that work in general in your home? Would you say it's 50-50?
No, I would not say 50-50. Because first of all, I work in 3 days in Prague, and my family is in Brno. So this is, let's say, first minus of myself. And second, I really respect a lot of work which has to be done in home. Yeah. So what I do is that I cook every weekend. So food, it's on me. Yeah? And this is, again, you know, I like it. So it's not about that cooking is the woman thing. Why? I don't get this man or woman work. Yeah. So that's why I like cooking and I like it more than my wife. So I cook. Yeah. So I take it this. And I think this is really important. If some men will listen to this podcast, I really ask you to really think about it. So a lot of families live in the way that, okay, so the father makes money, like in this stereotype, yeah? So like your father makes more money, so that's why he's so long in a work, whatever. And usually this is true, but then it's a challenge for us as a man, how much we invest back inside of the family, of the household, yeah? So if you earn a lot of money, so let's buy the food on the rohlik.com.cz, for example, and help with that. Buy your money, yeah? Or pay the kindergarten, or pay somebody who will clean the house, yeah? And this is I would say, my approach, yeah? So I make more money, but I feel the responsibility then to invest more. So this is, I think, the point where you can always change something. And I think it's always the devil is hidden in the detail. And I think you can always start with something. And I hate, and this is in the company culture, in the biases everywhere. You know, I hate this. Who am I to change that? Yeah? Or, you know, I have to work more because we have a mortgage, so I cannot help to my wife. Yeah, because I have to be in work. Yeah, okay, this is maybe true, but there are so many small details. So why not help with something? Maybe not by own hand. If somebody don't know how to make a good meal, then let's order it to start with the details and change the stereotype. Yeah. So everybody is able to do that.
I think there's also a lot of guilt. You know, women feel like they have to do it all. I think this is important. Again, I'm sorry to bring up communism, but, you know, women during communism worked. They all worked. It's not like they didn't work. So they worked full time and they did everything in the house. They had two full-time jobs. And women here still often have two full-time jobs. And that's not fair. And you have to think, I mean, I agree, every family has to make their own situation. But I think, Vladimir, one of the issues in that has to do with economic power. And something you said was really interesting. It was like a man, and I'm not saying this is in your case, but it's almost as if, you know, a man has this power and he can decide to be kind enough and order dame hilo and maybe give her some cleaning. And I think the time, you know, that he can work because she's doing unpaid labor. Okay. So they're both working, right? And I don't think he's being benevolent. I think it's about unpaid labor, according to the United Nations. Every hour you put into cleaning the house or cooking the food, you know, this is also labor and it's equal. The families that I have found that work the best recognize this, and there's no sense of that power imbalance because one is making money outside the home and one is saving money by watching the children or doing all the things that need to be done around the house or whatever it is. So I think that really, you know, sometimes there are gender stereotypes of what people like to do and what they don't like to do, which is, as you addressed, is silly. But beyond that, I think it has to be seen as, you know, the end of this machismo of, you know, I'm working outside the home, I'm paying the mortgage, you know, what are you doing? And this is really my work is less worth than yours. Okay, you do what the women in Iceland do in the 1970s. They all went on strike. I remember they decided nothing. I'm not cooking. I'm not cleaning. I'm not doing anything. The country shut down, yeah, and men didn't know what to do. So I think, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, but I think this is exactly what was my point, yeah. So when you start to pay for it, when you start to pay for the cleaning the house, then it's really because you know sometimes it's better what you can touch, yeah, than speak, yeah, and then you can really see. So then you can after 2 months make a profit and lose, yeah, balance, and let's take a look on it. And let's say, okay, so it is 5,000 Czech crowns per month to keep the clean house. So then we have a price, yeah? And then you will see, hey, okay, so this is what we are saving because my wife or my husband is cleaning the home and doing this stuff, yeah? And you will see that immediately, and then you can really balance it. And this is the same inside of the companies, yeah? So there is a thousand of small things which every leader can do to improve. And it's costless. We can decide that there will be only mandatory meeting between 9 o'clock and 5 o'clock or 9 and 4 in Czech Republic, that everybody can put the baby into the kindergarten and pick it up. It is super easy to have a child group inside of the company. It's not so expensive to have your kindergarten, and that's allow you to really be open for everybody. And at the end, you will have a lot of benefits out of it. So you will pay okay. You will pay half. And today in Prague, it's like let's say 8,000 per month. So if you pay it as a company on half. And it means that you will get really skilled and really motivated and really enthusiastic for employees, for example, back to job for 20,000. Hey, come on. Yeah, and this is the way of thinking we have to get to stop seeing these problems like it's big, it's huge, we have not enough money for being gender friendly. It's not like that. It's super easy. But there's a thousand of jobs where you can work on half or 2 hours or 3 hours per day. At the end, these people usually even work 8 hours because they work 3 hours at office. And then when everybody is sleeping, they open their laptop and work during the night because they are happy to be in touch with the company.
I want to just come back to what Vladimir was saying about, you know, wanting very good employees to come back and the concept of employee retention and also just keeping great employees. And I think he's right. Small businesses can do it too. But we really have to, the bias, the gender bias that goes on, if you talk to any human resources person behind the scenes, when they're interviewing a married woman in their 20s or early 30s, and they're thinking, if I hire her, I'm going to lose 6 years if she has 2 kids. That's bias, Clara. That's what's going on. They're thinking, is she going to get pregnant? And I had never heard this before because for better or for worse, there's a lot of problems with it. But in the United States, you have a kid, you go back to work. Now, I'm not saying that's perfect, but you have the longest maternity leave in Europe. Slovakia and Czech Republic, 3 years and then another 3 years. You know, an employer is going to lose 6 years because your kid can't go to nursery school until age 3 and there's no childcare available. That's a nightmare. That's not only a nightmare for her and him, okay, because it takes 2 people to make a baby and 2 people to take care of it, but it's also a nightmare for the company. And I know that everybody, you'll be a more productive company if you can get your employee back, right? Not force them back, but give them options. And I know Czech companies are becoming more and more creative with that. And I'd like to say that I think the number one obstacle in changing biases is that length of maternity leave without the availability of low-cost childcare for the under 3 group. So I think Vladimir and I probably agree on that. And the second thing I wanted to say is for women who are concerned about bias and about their career, before you get married or have a baby with someone or make someone your life partner, make sure that person is dedicated to your success of your career as much as he is dedicated to his own, and talk about what that will mean when the children come. Because I have heard it again and again from women who are successful that they could not have done it and had a family if their partner had not supported them. And that's the way it is. I just wanted to, you know, make that known to young women. It is not something we think about. I never thought about it. And I was brought up in a feminist household, and I just thought it'll always be like this. And it's not. So,
looking forward to the future, how do you think this will change, or will it change?
It will change, to make it short, because it's already changing. So we can really see that. And the company who would not be able to change will slowly disappear. The corporate or this corporate world led by processes and job descriptions and rules and everything will disappear. The same, the small companies who will not be able to keep important employees just because they are too lazy to think about the possibilities. And there are, and this is what I think it's important to repeat and to repeat. They are always possibilities, always. You can always make at least small steps to improve this or join somebody, you know. And this is what I have done, because our company had 100 employees and only 60 of them work in Prague. So it was hard to create the kindergarten on my own, because it would be really about two kids, yeah? But what I did, so I went to the owner of the business buildings where we used to be, and I say, hey, I want to make this. Do you have some place for this? Because it will be also, you know, good for you, because you can say to all other companies in this business area to say, hey, we have something more to offer to you than others in Prague, you know. And he say, yeah, okay, I can do that. So we did that together. Like, they give a cheaper place. Inside of the business building, there were, I don't know, 20 companies, and three of them say definitely, I want two places for my kids as well. So in 6 months, we did it. And this is one of the things where I'm proud of, because it was the way how our company helped not only our employees, but to the rest of the small area in Prague 5. So you can always find a way. So you can put more companies together, even on the small city. You can ask your neighborhood companies and say, hey, why we don't set up, and you will give 10,000, I will give 10,000, and then we will have it. Yeah, of course, it's not easy. Government and the authorities are not helping a lot, but you can manage that. And we can see that this is happening. So this is the way how it will be, because the startups companies and young fresh companies will also need to change this, because we have a lot of talented people inside of Czech Republic, but not enough for all businesses. So we will compete, and we are already competing for good people. The society is changing, and company has to react. And if they are reacting and showing these opportunities, it is again increasing the change of the society. So it's like circle, you know. So it will support each other, but we really need to inspire each other. And this is why I really like this podcast, that we have to really speak about big changes, but also small changes, which has to be done and can be done easily. And be really, really careful and really fast. We need a fast reaction to everything which is close to sexual harassment, to something like, hey, she's ugly, so she will be smart, or she's nice, so she will be stupid. And we have to react really fast and really aggressively. Like, I would really say, hey, if somebody is like this, yellow card, and that, then red card, and be fired from the company. And this is when you do that, Of course, it's a risk that you will fire a really skilled employee, but it's worth it because the silent majority again will see, hey, this company makes sense, and will give you 2 times more energy than before. So it, at the end, you will win with that.
Yeah. Vladimir said it all. I just want to praise him for his entrepreneurial spirit when it came to childcare and really seeing how it benefit the company and other companies around him. I'm sorry that he had to do that because it shouldn't have been that hard. I hope that the government will learn some lessons from this and will move ahead. Clara asked you, what does the future hold? Is this going to change? I'm both optimistic and pessimistic. I think tremendous amount has changed in the past 20 years. Tremendous. There is gender bias has been reduced, but the checks are still, economically, when the gender gap in pay is still the second or third highest in Europe. And you still have one of the lowest female representations in parliament. I think until the child care situation is provided and solved and the maternity leave is dealt with, that not much will change because the stigma will still be there. And I think that has to be dealt with first. Once that starts and women can really have choices, I think a lot more will change. I think we're looking at another 30 years before there's really the type of Scandinavian equality and respect where, people don't make dumb blonde jokes about politicians. I have seen informed journalists here do that on Twitter, and I'm stunned. It's still considered quite acceptable. Maybe their parents made it or it's a reaction to Me Too. I also think it's going to depend on the economy. What Vladimir said about needing employees, change comes from an economic push. And if there is that, what we had before the pandemic, which we haven't really addressed, because that's made everything worse for women, because now we're also doing homeschooling. Yay! But I think that if the economy then grows again, and Europe is going to have a much slower comeback than the United States because of the vaccine situation, once we're in the uptick, then we can focus on this. However, my heart of hearts tells me that you're going to need a revolution. We had Black Lives Matter. It was a revolution for people. I think there needs to be a gender revolution in this country. I think it can be bloodless, but I think the only way things are really going to change is when the average person in a small town, a village in Czech Republic is thinking, wow, I'm going to have a baby and maybe after 6 months I'll work and I have that choice and my mom and my grandma aren't going to point a finger at me and I can't wait to see all the options. And you know what? I also want to run for parliament later and I want my, daughter to wear blue, and do tech. And, when that becomes natural for a village girl and not weird, then you have something. And I think that, but 30 years, my children tell me I'm still going to be alive. So I'll check in with you then. So that's my vision, where we normalize the attitudes that Vladimir has, the attitudes that I have, and that, young women like you will have, a choice of working when they're, children are 6 months, or have the option of not having children and no one thinks you're a weirdo. So I think all of those things, and that you will be judged for your abilities and not your beauty. I think that will be really happy. And you will feel that your voice matters in a meeting just as much as a man's voice, and that you will not, most of all, that you will not have to change who you are to feel a sense of power. You will not have to manipulate a man. You will not have to use your beauty or raise your voice in a sweet way or coddle anyone to be the Minister of Defense, should you choose to. That's my dream for you.
You shared something like a vision, Dina, for how you would imagine the gender would be approached in the future. Vladimir, absolutely. Would you like to share yours?
The vision which I have is to really, I think that everybody must start on his own. So we have to show to the companies how it makes sense and discuss it and inspire and continuously speak about it to everybody who we met to discuss and open their mind. And then it will take a lot of years. I don't know if 30, and even I don't know if I really need to have 50. I don't care, honestly. I want the fair opportunities. This is the most important for me, because I think this is only the way how we can survive in this world, is that we can specialize on those things which we love and not waste our energy, talent on those things which we hate. And we shouldn't be pushed by the society, by the company, by parents, by family to something what we hate, because by the simple reason, we will not do it well. And this is the most important.
Thank you so much both for sharing. I had a wonderful time with you. I'll do my best job possible to show this to our community of FemPalette and even broader. Thank you so much both for your time. This is an important topic that we wanted to open, and I'm so glad I could do that with you too.
Thank you. Vladimir, it was wonderful to talk to you.
Very glad to meet you.
Lovely to meet you. Hope to see you all in person sooner than later.
And that's a wrap, but the fun doesn't have to stop here. If you have any questions, guest suggestions, or feedback, shoot us an email to podcast@fempalette.com. To learn more about our community, head over right now to FemPalette Instagram or Facebook and get involved. Thank you for listening, and join us for the next episode of On Air, a podcast by FemPalette.